This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
The title of the book, Bam Bam, The Prince of Valpreva, and the author, Little Anthony. And Little Anthony joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, and this interview is brought to you by Archway Publishing. Hello, Little Anthony.
Hello.
Great to have you on the show. Bam Bam, this is quite a mostly true story, as you put it, of a tiny cat found lost on the streets of Palm Beach, and he gets rescued by a little girl, and then the adventure starts. And
yes,
it is a bit of an unbelievable story to some degree. Some may even call it a fairy tale.
Yes, very much so. Yes, this poor little thing was on the streets all by itself, and somehow ended up with me, this girl who found him, and now he's prince of a castle in France. It's an incredible story. He's actually a real prince in a real castle in France.
And of course, if you have a prince, you must have a princess.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, part of wanting to write the story was that he almost didn't make it to the castle because something happened to him. He almost doesn't make it. And I said to myself, oh my God, there can't be a princess without a prince. So he's got to make it through the situation that he goes through. But he comes out okay and makes it to the castle.
Obviously, you're a cat lover, but what are the reasons did you write the book?
Well, I wrote the book because I thought Bam Bam's story had a lot of great messages for kids. You know, you can start your life anywhere, on the street even, and still end up a prince, that you never really know how your life's going to play out. And I truly believe that this cat knew that the way to make it in this world was to be nice to people. This is the kind of cat who, after 10 minutes with anybody, he'll sit on your lap and make you love him. And I just thought that that was a great message for kids in terms of, you know, being good, if you will, and finding ways of making your way through life that way. There were also many other reasons for writing the book, including references to different cultures. You know, the French culture and French words figure prominently in the book, as well as some Jewish, Yiddish words. And I thought the multiculturalism part of the book was also interesting. And quite honestly, also, I can't think of another children's book that is set in Miami Beach.
Set in Miami Beach, but ends up in a castle in France.
Yes. Well, in addition to Bam Bam, another cat landed in my arms named Bijou. And Bijou was, or is, the princess of a queen in France who has a castle. And Bijou and Bam Bam fall in love, and, well, they both fly over to France to live in the castle, ultimately.
So you have some themes of adventure, love, and thankfulness.
Yes, and also about letting go. I mean, Bam Bam grows up, and he moves away, very much like what happens with parents. You know, they raise their children, and eventually the children grow up and lead their own lives.
You are particularly connected to France in that you formed a nonprofit in the wake of the terrible terror in Paris last year.
Yes. What happened in Paris is beyond comprehension. And in some way with this book, I felt, well, there's very little that I can do for Paris per se, being just, you know, one person, but there's something I can do for a small village 3 hours outside of Paris, known as Valpreva, where there is a castle where Bam Bam now lives with Princess Bijou. And yes, we formed a non-for-profit called the American Friends of the Chateau de Valprivat, and we're going to support the music and literature and art programs at the castle. And actually, we're going to be looking for little Anthony's and another character in the story named Little Inez. We're going to be looking for little Inez's and little Anthony's all around the country to read to other children in their schools and libraries and homes and with friends, with the chance of one of them getting to go over to France and visit with the cats in the castle, doing this through the nonprofit.
This may be a simple story for children, but at the same time, it's a bit sophisticated.
Yes, the story is very multi-layered and has a lot of hidden meanings and in it, and it's really for the readers to see it if they wish, and if not, they can accept it just as a simple story.
So you see children today better educated, and they would really be able to understand what you were trying to say.
Very much so. I mean, my favorite books, like Make Way for Ducklings, Curious George, Barbar, all the books that I love to read, they're, when I look at them today, relative to how sophisticated children are today, I do think that children are much more sophisticated than those books, and that's why I do think that this book will be important in children's literature in the long run.
Not only a great story, but lots of photos, colorful photos of Bam Bam and her adventure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In fact, I felt very strongly that I wanted the real photographs. I didn't take pictures with the intent of eventually writing a book. When the sequence events sort of came together that he was going to become a prince and move to France seemed so remarkable to me. I kind of looked back at the pictures I had and I said, wow, I have a great little story here to tell the world. And so while I was advised to make it an animated book, I felt that the realness of the real pictures added measurably to the whole story and made it feel more real. The graininess of the pictures make it look like anyone could have taken these pictures. And that was part of what I wanted to come out of the book, not to make it idealized, but really to make it something real.
And of course, when you start a book once upon a time, you know that there are a lot of surprises ahead.
Yes, there are a lot of surprises ahead. Just when you think everything's perfect, things get turned upside down, and then you got to figure it out all over again. You can never be too sure. Just when you think you've landed in the perfect spot, things get turned around, and you got to rethink things. And then things turned around over and over. One of the great lessons of the story is being resilient, which Bam Bam certainly was, having to move around like a nomad from place to place, and surviving transitions, being flexible. He really, even though he's a cat, he demonstrates a lot of qualities that I think are important for everyone, whether you're a child or even as an adult.
Bam Bam, the Prince of Valprivat. How do we get this book, little Anthony?
Well, you go to the Archway Publishing site, and you can order it direct from the publisher.
And, of course, anyone can go to any retail bookseller, and they will order it, receive this great children's story, kind of a fairy tale, kind of an unbelievable story, but one with a great message. Thank you for being on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for having me.
And this interview is brought to you by Archway Publishing.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Joining me from Hawaii is the author of a book titled Angel in Paradise. Deirdre Donovan is my guest. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me, Jay.
This is a beautiful book, and anything that is printed or designed in Hawaii should be that way. It is a little unique. It is only 35 pages or so, 30 pages. It is a book that I would say by least initial look is one that's designed to be read by children. Would that be correct?
That is correct.
How long have you wanted to be an author and write children's books?
Well, when I was in grammar school, the stories I wrote were often read to the class by the teacher, and I found this to be quite gratifying. Then much later, I went to graduate school and taught autistic children as part of my field work. And when the time came to write my thesis, I wanted my thesis to be in the form of a children's book, and I did not have the resources that I needed at that time. So then in the digital age, I found Angel. And when she was two and being walked on the beach, she was much admired by tourists and celebrities, and one day one of them said she ought to be in pictures.
And for my audience, Angel is not a kitty cat, hamster, or goldfish. Who is Angel?
Angel is a 4-pound Pomeranian Yorkie mix.
Fabulous. The photos that you have in your book are unique also. Now, your people who encountered her on the beach found her to be a charming little character. Mm-hmm. You began taking pictures, and how did this format come about?
Well, I kind of invented it because there are really not many books, if any, in this particular format. The design is that there are 25 illustrations, and they are collaged and computer-enhanced photographs. And they achieve the effect of magical realism, which you wouldn't be able to achieve with regular photographs.
Yes, it is quite unique. Most of the books that I interview authors about that have written children's books use illustrators or illustrations and sometimes sketches, many of them animation in style. Your book is outstanding. The look, at least visually, is almost as though it's three-dimensional. It also has a whimsical feel to it. How long did it take you to come up with the concept for the photos to match the adventure of Angel that you created?
Well, that didn't really take that long. I wrote the script after I got the photographs, because you can't tell what photograph you're going to be able to get if you're taking pictures of a dog. So she needed a lot of treats. She needed a wrangler. But she's a very good actress, so it wasn't that difficult.
Well, I can relate to that. I need lots of treats to do my job as well. So you worked with her, and the photos themselves took, again, how long?
Well, the entire book took 7 years.
Wow.
I know.
That's a long time.
It was, but it was also fun and challenging, and so it was enjoyable.
What is the primary message of the book? Is it just entertainment, or is there an underlying theme that you have also assembled?
Well, there actually really is a message. The moral is to never turn your back on a wave. It's really an important lesson. There is great power where hot lava has met the ocean. You need to listen to wise advice, the core teaching is that, to listen to wise advice. And if you do turn your back on a wave, you can drown.
Mm. The book then would appeal to those with access to bodies of water primarily, but the general theme is one that would be applicable to any child, any place.
Yes.
Are there other characters in here besides Angel? I know she's the star of the novel or the book.
She is. Well, she has a little posse of toys, and she calls them her Little Littles. And they were made just for the book. They were sewn by a seamstress whose grandmother was a doll maker. And the Little Littles are there to demonstrate the joys of friendship, of connecting. They also illustrate the value of teamwork. And they are her best friends.
Beautifully put. There is possibilities of maybe a sequel to this particular book, I would think. Are you thinking of doing so, or have you just focused on Angel in Paradise?
Actually, I'm in the process of putting the second book together. I've got about 15 photographs. Some of them have already been computer enhanced. And the second book will take place in Deep Country, which is where the Invisibles live.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back cover of Angel in Paradise, there is a portal that invites and leads you into the second book.
Ah, I see the portal. I wondered what that was. It looked intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this first release, Angel in Paradise, might lead to other ventures related to it? Maybe animation or a series or something else?
Well, totally. There could be toys made. It could be a whole cottage industry. It could be cartoons. It could be interactive puzzles. Many, many. It could go in many directions.
You have mentioned that you work with children. Have any of those children had an opportunity to experience the story that you have created?
No, newer children have. My great niece, to whom the book is dedicated, recently visited, and she got to meet Angel, and she went to Toad Rock, and she was tickled pink. She just loved it. But it appeals to, it is really written for the ages between 3 and 8, but adults enjoy it as well. So
you've created almost a different format than what I've seen. Well, definitely a different format than what I've seen in the past. Have you noticed or found any other publications that are similar to yours, or is yours kind of setting the stage for a new genre of book?
I think it's kind of setting the stage. I did do some research beforehand, and I couldn't really find anything that was in that form.
In that style. It's difficult to describe the style, but it is a combination of a sort of animation with sketches and digital and still photos. It's beautiful to look at and also very engaging. It draws you into the story.
And there's also a monster.
I didn't see the monster.
You didn't see the monster?
I'm missing. I'm looking.
Toad Rock is the monster.
Toad Rock is the monster. Ah. Rainbow glows as he's towed through the surf to the shore.
Yes. And Toad Rock has teeth.
I see those. Those were created?
Yes.
Beautifully done. Yes. I wish you well as you progress as an author. What is your hope in releasing this?
Well, you know, if you can delight a child just for a little amount of time, that is really very satisfying.
Beautifully done. This first effort is titled Angel in Paradise. D.M. Donovan has been my guest author, joining me from the islands of Hawaii. Thank you for joining me today. Deirdre, where can my listeners get copies of your book and get in touch with you as well?
Well, there is Archway, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ebook, iTunes, and on my website, which is called Silent Poetry Art Studio.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me today and sharing your story. I look forward to talking with you again in the future about your next release when it's available. How much longer do you think it'll be before that is also available?
Well, I hope it's not another 7 years.
I understand. So it's in the works and almost there.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for joining me today. Again, my guest has been Deirdre Donovan, and she has joined me from Hawaii. And I will ask a silly question. How's the weather in Hawaii? And it's always perfect. I'm guessing. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Jay.
For Indie Book Publishing Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker. For Indie Book Publishing, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the living room, a place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Life Rich Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Rebecca's Soliloquy, and my author who joins me from near Nashville, Tennessee in the United States is Roberta Nee Adams. Welcome to the program, Roberta.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
This book is 146 pages, and from my understanding, the story that you tell in this is actually based on a real-life incident that happened almost 150 years ago, and it also is a story that is not uncommon. Or, in other words, it's one that's been told over that 150 years. In your research, was it embellished? How did you come about wanting to tell it again in print form?
Well, mother-in-law told me the story some years ago. This happened in her family. It actually was her great-grandmother and great-grandfather.
Really?
That were the main characters in the story. The story had been handed down orally through the generations, and, of course, details were very sketchy. But when she told me the story, it just absolutely immediately captivated me. And I thought, I would love to write that. I would love to write that. But having details as sketchy as they were, what I had to come up with, well, how could this have happened? What would have been the sequence of events? So I did some research as to, you know, the path they might have traveled and things like that. But that's basically, I filled in a lot of the blanks myself. But the main characters and the main points of the story are what I was told.
And this all revolves around the Civil War and an incident that took place during that time frame. Share with my listeners the recap of the two main characters, or the main characters, and how their interaction was unique to that time frame.
Okay, the story starts out in West Tennessee, Northwest Tennessee. There were two brothers. One was a farmer, one was a merchant. When the war broke out, even though there was a fair amount of Union sentiment in that area, they both joined with the Confederacy and went off to war. The merchant brother, I might add, both brothers were quite prosperous when the war broke out. The merchant brother got his arm shot off and was sent home. The farmer brother was injured and captured and taken to a prison camp in St. Louis. The farmer's wife, Rebecca, finds on the farm, while the brothers are gone, a wounded Yankee officer. And she nurses him back to health. As a result, he writes her passes to go get her husband out of prison camp. So she takes a couple who had been former slaves on the farm, a two-wheeled dog cart and an old horse, and they leave to go to St. Louis to try to get him out of prison camp and bring him home.
Fascinating story. You begin the tale with a... Is it a recollection? Would that be the way to describe your conversation with Grandma? Or who is Grandma in this opening scene?
Well, I think it one of the themes of the story is continuity and how we are connected to the past. So to show that, I started in the present day at the supposed house that they lived in. And then at the end of the story, I bring it back to the present day. But those characters are totally fictional.
They are fictional. Is the style of writing a combination of fiction and fact? I guess that would be the right way to describe it, since you've called this fictional, this first conversation. Is it read like a fictional novel?
More or less. It's written in letters. Rebecca... When her husband is gone, she writes in letters what's going on the farm and things that happen, and it's kind of her way of keeping close, you know, a feeling of closeness with her husband who's been gone for an extremely long time, and that's how the story unfolds, is in the letters.
You had to have done some research, since this was oral history that was passed along in the family. Did you come across any historical documents that also were a source of some of the storyline?
Yes, as a matter of fact, of course, the Ancestry.com was a good source. But we also, my late mother-in-law had documents that were part of the family history passed down. As a matter of fact, the story within the story about the bonnet box was also a true story, and that bonnet box is today in possession of my youngest daughter. And this story within the story happened with a cousin of the two Moffat brothers. Mm. And that story happened in Nashville. And we researched that extensively. And we do have pictures of some of the family and that kind of documentation.
Roberta, how long did it take you from the moment that you decided, I need to tell this story and put it in print, to completion?
Well, actually, I thought about it for several years before I actually started it, because I was worried that I would not do her story justice. And I found the story so compelling, I wanted to make sure I could do it justice. But once I finally sat down and actually started writing, it took a little over 6 months.
Six months to complete. And did you, by purpose or accidentally, come up with a theme that perhaps underscores a moral to the story?
That, I think, was reflected from the fact that the story had been handed down orally all those years. You know, there was that connection. And my late mother-in-law was quite the family historian. And I had a lot of documents, had a lot of stories about the family. That one I found especially compelling. But, you know, we are connected to the past. We are a product of the past. And those, you know, your ancestry does mean something. And it shouldn't just be forgotten. I think that story was well worth remembering and retelling.
You have titled it Rebecca's Soliloquy, which includes all of these letters, some, I guess, that were imagined in your writing style, but based on fact. Are there some key messages, perhaps, that come through also?
I think the biggest message, of course, is the continuity. Also, the realization that Rebecca comes to about the reality of war. And how she felt about it, she kind of evolves a little bit about, you know, of course, at first she's afraid of the Yankees, and then she overcomes that through having to deal with that to get to her husband and bring him home. And a lot of it has to do with the tragedy that was visited on innocent people not just soldiers of the time. So I think that had a lot to do with it. It's the only war we ever fought here on American soil.
True. Is there an aspect of that oral history that you have continued in your own personal life, maybe by journaling or other ways of sharing your family history, your personal history with your family?
Well, actually, my sister, I have a sister who is a huge historian and has tracked our family back many, many generations, back to England. And so she's the expert as far as that goes, as far as family history. And she's gotten pictures that go back just about to the beginning of pictures, for Pete's sake. But I let her handle that part.
That's phenomenal. Roberta, in this fictional work, were you excited enough about the finished product that you still have maybe some more stories to tell related to history and novels?
Yes, actually, I've got a couple that I'm kind of outlining out. I love to write. I've been a closet writer for years and years, and I do love to write. I love to tell a story and those kinds of stories. I find very special, and I like telling those. And my sister that I mentioned that does the ancestry actually found out that we are related to Laura Ingalls Wilder, so maybe that's
really
where it comes from.
I was going to ask you where you did your creative process, but you've already spilled the beans. You write in a closet somewhere. I don't know. I hope there's it's a big closet.
Mostly.
Well, that's excellent. This is a book that, how would you describe it, as it's not just a historical book. In other words, it's not dry history. How would you describe the blending of truth and fiction in this, and who's your reader? Who's the person that's going to find this fascinating to investigate?
Anyone that relates to that time period would find it interesting. Of course, that goes for not just the Civil War, but that time period. Also, it's a true love story, and I think a very, very compelling love story. I mean, I don't know anyone or too many people that would go through what she went through to get her husband back in a prison camp, you know, because she felt that strongly, walking 250 miles, through a war.
Mm.
So, and the element that it's true, a true story, I think anybody that, of course, yes, I did have to come up with, connecting the dots, and that perhaps is fictional, but it is based on something that really did happen. These people really lived. She really made the trip, and there really was a civil war going on.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating concept and storyline. Rebecca's Soliloquy is the title. Were there challenges that you had to overcome in order to get this published, or did it come fairly simply?
It was fairly simple. I did some research. It is self-published. I sat on it for quite a while. I believe I submitted it to one publisher and got a rejection letter. So I didn't move or do anything further with it. And then finally, I decided, that story is just such a great story that I just wanted out there. So I self-published. And Life Rich was very good, very reputable. They were good about walking me through the process and, getting it done. And I feel like I got a very good product.
Fabulous. Roberta, where do my listeners get a copy of Rebecca's Soliloquy?
The book is available on Amazon. It's also available online through other booksellers. You could Google it, or you could go to Life Rich Publishing. It's available as an e-book as well. So if you have a Nook or a Kindle, you can get it for that, or you can get the soft cover or hardcover.
Excellent. Listeners, you can also do a search under the author's name, Roberta Nee, N-E-E, Adams, A-D-A-M-S, and locate not only Rebecca's Soliloquy, but the book that's on the horizon, about to be released in the near future, and keep in contact with Roberta. Do you have any social media places that they also can get in touch?
I do not have a web page yet for the book, but I am in process of, I have someone that is working on that, so I expect to in the not too far future.
And perhaps a fan page on Facebook or other places.
Oh, well, yeah, that'd be great. I'm on Facebook myself.
Very fine. They can do a search again under Roberta Nee Adams and locate you. And when that website launches, they'll be able to connect with you there. And perhaps on Facebook under a fan page once this book gets into the marketplace and people respond to it positively, which I know they will. Thank you for joining me today, Roberta.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. For Life Rich Publishing, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.